Welcome to another great message from Influencers Church Australia. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencerschurch.com. We hope that this message blesses you.
Oh, are you doing good tonight? Yeah? Turn around and give a little wink to the person next to you. If they're single and you're single, you're going to hope for the best. We are talking about relationships, so, you know. I thought perhaps when Shana was up here speaking on the offering, I thought that's an incredible tip for a first date. Ask them if they tithe. It was a few dates in, I'm glad for that. I thought maybe that was on your checklist, Pastor Josh. Do you tithe? No, you're out. But you made it, so something worked. Hey, so good to be with you tonight and part two of our real relationships. And so tonight I'm going to take you on a bit of a journey, and I've got a panel that are going to come in a moment. We're going to do the panel right at the start of what we're talking about tonight. But we're going to not just talk about marriage tonight, but we're going to talk about connection. And you know, we live in a world where we are surrounded by technology. We're surrounded by what's called social media. And we can have contact, or it feels like we're having contact with so many people throughout our day. Yet, are we really having contact with people? You know, and I wonder right now, sitting here in a room full of people, how many of us are surrounded by people, yet how many of us actually feel alone? I wonder when we step away from here and we enter into our week, you know, we're surrounded by people. If we go to work, we're surrounded by people. If we live with people, we're surrounded by people. If we go to school or we go to uni, whatever it is, we're surrounded by people. Everywhere we go, there's people. Yet how many of us sometimes in life can actually feel alone? And the truth is, we then scroll through our social media and we have a look and we think we know people. What we know is about people, but we don't actually know people. And I wonder tonight, my question to us is, have we actually lost the art of true connection? I saw one of the pre-slide screens that comes up on our thing, and it said, let's get connected. And it had all our social media things. But the reality is, if you want to get connected in this place, the place for you to be after the service is in our foyer. The place for you to be is in our blue room where you're meeting people for the first time. The place for you to be in the middle of the week is in a connect group, because it's in that place that iron can sharpen iron and you can get to know people of like-mindedness. And even if they're not like-mindedness, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And so I wonder tonight, you know, if we will really take a good look at, have we lost the true art of connection? And that's what I want to speak on. And I've got an incredible panel who I'm going to get to in just a moment. But, you know, I think no more relevant a time than we actually have to work harder than ever to maintain connection with people. You know, you go back 20 years ago when I was, or actually go back 30 years ago when I was a lot younger, you just got home from school and you went outside and you didn't come back home till you thought it was time for dinner. Now you drive home, you press the button in your car that opens up your garage, you drive into your garage, you press the button that goes down, you go into your house, and you don't even necessarily know who or what is living around you. We've lost the art of true connection. It's time for us as the church to bring back the art of true connection and actually not be okay with just seeing our screen and scrolling through our social media posts and going, that's great, I know what Pastor Josh did today. That's great, I know what my relatives did. That's great, I know what this person did. Or I'd been invited to an event. You don't even get an invitation anymore. You just get invited to an event on social media. And it's great. It's a great platform. I love it and I use it. And I'm not going to say I don't. But is it pulling us away from actually spending time with people? Is it doing that? You know, each one of us was actually created for connection. When we were formed in our mother's womb, when God had us on his mind, he created us, he thought of us, he planned us for connection. You think about God. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. It's not even God just on his own. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God's all about relationship. And so if for a moment, I think we should just stop and gather this in to, we're going to go to the panel. I've got an incredible panel tonight. Who likes the look of my panel? Oh, just a few people. Those walls are for you, Larissa. The What Walls Are for Larissa. Hey, I'm going to introduce our panel, but we've got some incredible people on the panel, and we're going to talk. You notice I'm being deliberate tonight. We're not necessarily talking about marriage. We're talking about the art of connection. If you're sitting there and you're a single person, this is for you tonight. If you're sitting there and you're a single parent, this is for you tonight. If you're sitting there and you wish you were married, this is for you tonight. If you're sitting there and you're married, this is for you tonight. This is all of us because we were created for connection. So we have tonight Tina and JP, who are our family's pastors here at Influencers Church. Tina's on staff. And Tina and JP have fast become... I've known Tina and JP for a very long time and now have the privilege of living in the same town as them and working in the same environment as them. But I've known them from afar. We've known each other but lived in different states. But Tina and JP have fast become Rob and I's some of our closest friends, and we have dinner probably every week and we do connection because that's really important to us. Georgie and James sitting in the middle there, newly engaged, getting married in January. How many sleeps? So we're not going there? No, we're not going to worry about it. Georgie's on staff. She's one of our young adults pastors. And then we have Larissa at the end, who's single and an incredible woman, has her own business. She's just an incredible person. And yes, she is single. Did I already say that? She told me to have a bit of fun tonight. I told her I'd get her up and parade. No, only joking. But, you know, each of them has got a story. And so I'm going to start with Georgie and James. And what I love about Georgie and James is they're obviously madly in love with each other, yet their whole world doesn't just coexist for each other. You know, so many young couples who I've watched have actually got into a relationship and then got engaged and then forgotten about the rest of their worlds, lost all their friends. In fact, I can remember very clearly a young adults couple I knew who got married and then decided they were going to take a year or so off serving in church because they needed to spend time on themselves. And I said to them very nicely, "You met serving in church. Why would you stop serving in church? Serve the Lord together in church." How fun. So Georgie and James, my question to you tonight, and I would love you to respond to this, is how important have friendships been for each of you separately, but also as a couple, and how have you managed to not become that couple that everybody's like, "Oh, look at them," because it's just all about you and the rest of the world doesn't want to be anywhere near you. I'll watch you. You are all about people. So how have you managed that?
Well, we are the same people that we are when we were single. We just complement each other now. So I think you're silly to think that you don't have relationships with other people as soon as you start dating somebody else. So I still have all of my best friends that I had before I was with James. They're still my best friends because they challenge me and bring different things to the relationship, my relationship, than James ever could, because James doesn't want to watch 50 girly movies with me and he doesn't want to hang out and paint his nails with me. I mean, that would be weird if he did. I probably wouldn't date him if he wanted to do that kind of stuff. But you need other relationships in your life that aren't just your significant other, and they're meant to complement, not be the only relationship. And I actually probably wouldn't have even dated James if it weren't for other people. I was a bit naive, and it was actually other people that told me, "Georgie, he likes you, come on, like, wake up." Even Mel in the front row over there, I talked to her at a wedding and I was like, "Mel, I'm pretty sure James likes me," and she blunt straight out went, "Yeah, duh, he's liked you for months." You need friends sometimes to tell you things that you can't see. So yeah,
it's good, babe. Yeah, so just when I first noticed Georgie, it was at a conference and we've both always served, and that's how we met. We met in youth leadership, but I remember it was Influencers Conference and there was a dance item and Georgie was dancing in the front of the stage and she was dressed as an angel. And I was at the back doing security and I just looked at her and fell in love. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I've seen a glimpse of heaven." And my first thing was man, I need to talk to this girl more. And the first thing I thought to do was I'm just going to call all my friends and I'm just going to hang out in a group as much as possible with people. And I think that's the best and safest way to meet people. But that's really what has helped us grow. Georgie and I, we've always been a part of Connect Groups. We've always served on youth leadership and young adults now. We're always around people and, yeah, we just love it. Like, you know, I think people have this misconception about relationships. Like, it's a Hollywood movie when you meet someone where both of us, we're really just the best of friends. Like, and that's the thing I'm, you know, looking forward to most in marriage, is just being married to my best friend.
But it's, sorry, I'm just going to say one more thing. It's not even just, we talked a lot about the beginning when we started dating, but now it's so important to have other couples that we hang out with, other friends. It shouldn't always just be us two. It should be different. Even like last night, James went and hung out with a friend and I hung out with a friend and we split up, and it's okay to do that. And you shouldn't always be in your couple bubble. You should have other friends.
That's hashtag couple bubble. That is so important. Let's not be the couple bubble. Hey, I don't know if you picked that up. Great tip if you're single out there. Serving in church, that's how they met. Did you get that? Yeah, serving in church.
And join a Connect group if you're single.
And join a Connect group if you're single. Yeah. Get connected. Oh, it's all happening, isn't it? The couple bubble, hashtag get connected. Hey, that is fantastic. And they're a great couple. We're going to move right along. Tina and JP. So Tina and JP, if you don't know them, they've got three grown-up children, two of them who are married. They are grandparents to one little girl, only a few weeks old, and almost grandparent to another one. They've got their daughters due in like 2 days or something. She looks, yep, ready to go. So they're grandparents. So my question to you guys and to help us as parents is, what of similar sort of thing, what are some keys? Parenting does become all-consuming. So what are some keys that you guys have journeyed and put into practice in your marriage and in your parenting journey to not lose yourselves in your children? Because what I find as a parent is you can so easily default to being mum or dad and everything else just becomes a side. And it's important to parent, but you need other relationships and stuff in your world. So what are some keys and how did you journey that in your marriage and in your parenting journey?
That's a really big question. I think for me personally, I'm actually naturally an introvert and not that I don't need people, but I don't go out, I'm not massively social. So, and I'm quite independent. So I think it started when I had a revelation that God created me to be interdependent, not independent. And when I had an understanding of that, it was easier for me to sort of open up my heart and open up my world to other people. As far as with the kids, I think together we had an understanding that our kids aren't the centre of our universe. We love them. We adore our children. But the end game for us is that our kids would leave home and live their own life and be successful in their own life. So we wanted to make sure that we preserved our friendship and our relationship, as well as relationships with friends. So we were very deliberate in looking for friendships that, peer friendships, also friendships, well, we would look for people who were just that bit further on in life that we can come alongside of and learn from, and also friendships that, you know, we could help. Because it's not all about us, but we would like to help others as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sort of I'm the flip side of Tina. So she feels like she doesn't need people. I need people around me pretty much constantly. I will be friends with anybody that will stand still in the shop long enough for me to strike up a conversation. But one of the big things that I learned really early on is that I don't just need friends, I need connection, I need community. Yeah. So I needed those guys in my life that I could be real with, that I could open up to, not just acquaintances, but true friendships. Friendships that stand the test of time. There's friends come and go, and different seasons call for different people in your world and all that sort of stuff. But one of the main things that I've learnt about friendship and community is that I have to be open. If I'm not open, then no one can get in. If I've got my heart shut, if I've got my doors locked, there's no one can get in there. I'm the one that has to be open first. And then from a parenting point of view, I think, like Tina said, the end game is that your kids grow up and move out, and you need each other. If your kids are little and you're trying to think, I don't know if I like this person, then you need help. Yeah. Get help straight away, because you've got years and years and years of doing life together. Yeah. So we're best friends. Like, we are talking about serving in church. We met here in kids. We were junior helpers when we were 12.
Wow.
Started going out when we were 15. And all that sort of thing. I'll stop. So, yeah. So our kids growing up, like, we wanted our kids in community. We wanted our kids to have other people influencing them as well. So the community around you, it takes a village to raise a child. We need those other people sowing into our kids as much as our kids need us sowing into them.
How good's that? How good is that? It does take a village, and, you know, what they're saying is actually what they walk out. Last night, sitting on our lounge room floor, Angus wanting a book read over and over again, and then Angus wanting Tina to blow a trumpet, and then Angus wanting JP to do whatever. They actually live that out. They very much get down on the, you know, and be with people, and it's so true. So thank you for that. Larissa!
Leave the best for last.
Larissa is a single woman. So I asked her, would she be on the panel? And she said to me, you know I'm single, right? I said, absolutely. And that's why we want you. Because I think a lot of people, and Larissa, we've had a conversation about this, and I'd love you to speak into this, but I know a lot of people feel like life doesn't start until you find your life partner. But that's not the reality. Some of us have life partners, and some of us don't have life partners, and whether that's something that will happen or not happen, we actually have to get ourselves to a place where we're okay. So do you want to, I know we've had conversation, do you want to speak into what you've done in your life to not settle for second best, but also not stop not living because you haven't got a life partner?
Exactly. I had a past, and I got saved 9 years ago. And before I got saved, I had quite a few serious relationships. They didn't work. And obviously they didn't work because I didn't know who I was. So when I got saved, you know, I've been single for a long time, but I understand why I've been single for a long time. So God really needed to peel back the layers to really kind of help me to understand why I made bad choices, but also to understand what I want in a relationship. What is a relationship? Because, you know, when you're in the world, guys, like, it really is sold to you like it's a fairy tale, and it's actually not. It's a lot of hard work. And when you are ready to be in that season, to be with someone, God will bring you to that place, because he's got to work on you. He's got to work on your self-esteem, your self-worth. You know, you don't want to be someone that's going to be dependent on your husband either. So, look, it hasn't been an easy journey, but it's been a really enjoyable journey at the same time. So I've had to really kind of love who I am, be comfortable in my skin, work through issues that were really affecting me that would have affected, a relationship that I would have been in now. So, and I just think, you know, I find even in church culture as well, there's a lot of pressure. I feel there's a lot of pressure to, you know, not be single, but it's not a disease. It's really cool being single.
Hashtag not a disease.
Hashtag good. It's not a disease. It's really cool being single because, you know, yes, you have your freedom when you are married, but this is a different type of freedom, and it's time for you to be with God and just have time with him. And if you choose to actually have that time with God, he's going to show you all the desires of your heart. Like, he really is. But you've got to, you know, switch that, like, flick that switch and decide, okay, you know, because, you know, with human nature as well, you're always kind of like, yep, at 25, I'm going to get married. At 35, I'm going to get married. You know, a few years later, I'm going to have kids. Sometimes that doesn't happen. And you've just got to let God take over your life, because he knows the plans for you. So I think the best thing for all single people is to just enjoy where you're at. It's an amazing place to be, and just go with the flow. Have fun. Enjoy the world that God's given you as well. Yeah.
What a good word. So good. So one more question for you, Larissa. Friendships. How have friendships been in your world?
Well, to be quite honest, I was praying quite a lot for friendships. So I've got some amazing people around me. You know, Christy and Phil are pretty amazing. You know, they've had their experiences. And just kind of seeing those type of friends that God's brought into my life, it's really helped me to understand what kind of a relationship I want to have. And, you know, they're not perfect, but through them, God's shown me what He can do in their life. And that's given me faith and that's given me the courage to go, okay, I've been single for a long time, but that's okay. God's got amazing plans for me. He's going to bring people into my life, you know, seasonal. He's going to bring people into my life that are going to be with me forever. You've just got to trust that. So I've really prayed about it, but I've also decided that I want to be around people that are going to actually help me have the best life that I can have. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to decide it. You can't just kind of go, oh, I really want a good life and just kind of sit back. You've got to put yourself out there and you've just got to believe what God has for you and just go for it.
So good, so good. How good is this panel of people? Well, why don't you clap for them, thank them. I'm going to let you guys go back to your seat now. How good are they? I feel like I could just give them the microphone and let them do the rest of the work. But you know, God is perfect in everything that He does. And sometimes when we look at situations, we're like, why is this happening? Why is that happening? I love your perspective, Larissa. I love your outlook. I love that you've just allowed God to come in the midst. And while life hasn't been perfect, you've allowed God to orchestrate what's the next and be content in what it is now. And I think that's so crucial. That's so important because sometimes we're chasing what we want out here, but we're not content with where we are right here. And I think in any relationship, that's so important. We can be looking out there or scrolling through our phone on social media and seeing what everybody else has got and looking at their highlight reel, thinking that's what I want my life to look like. But if we actually stepped into their story, we might actually go, oh, heck no, I don't want a part of that. We see the highlights, but we don't know the reality of what's getting played out. And so just for a few moments, because that was gold and I don't want to take away from that. And I think we'll see there's a thread through that is that being intentional and being deliberate about the people in your world. And I think that's so important. We can't just sit back and let life happen. Because let me tell you, it will. But it won't be the best life that you intended or that the thing that God intended for you. You have to be deliberate about putting the right people in your world. Do you know, I think that some of us, and this is going to sound a little bit harsh, but I think some of us need to, in real life, unfriend some of our friends. We do it on social media. We don't like something, so we just unfriend, we block, we poke, we do whatever we do. We report them, we do whatever we do on social media. We ban them from seeing our page. We play little games like that. I don't want this person to see where I'm going tonight, so I'm going to block them. But I actually, before I got here tonight, I dropped my daughter at dancing and I've got about a half an hour window where she's at dancing and I sat in the car and I prayed and I felt so strong to say that tonight that some of us actually need to unfollow some people in our world. Not that you go and say to them, I'm not following you anymore, you're not my friend anymore. But I think that speaks very loudly of that we need to be intentional about the people that we allow to speak into our world. Because what you allow to speak into your world will then become a dominating thing that you will move towards. And so if everything that's coming in is negative, then what's coming out is going to be negative. It's time to unfollow some friends in real life. Hey, I just want to quickly touch on some keys that I think are crucial in 1 Samuel 18. And it's probably one of the more well-known friendships in the Bible of Jonathan and David. And so I'm just going to touch. I've got 3 points that we're going to go to tonight. But 1 Samuel 18, is this okay? Did you love the panel?
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of a sore throat, so don't mind when I have a drink. 1 Samuel 18 says this, after David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. And there was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, his sword, his bow and his belt. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. I think there's 3 keys out of those short few scriptures that we can take away and apply to marriages, friendships, any sorts of relationships, if we want to see our relationships strengthen, then I think there's some keys here. And the first one is this, that they had a common bond, or they had a common faith in their relationship. You know, I think they actually had every reason not to be friends. Jonathan, if you look at it, Jonathan became a hero in his father's army through years of hard work and dangerous assignments. David became a hero by throwing one stone. Every reason not to be friends. And sometimes our differences actually divide us from being friends with someone. We look at someone and go, well, I don't have anything in common, so I can't be friends with them. But the thing that these two had in common is they had a love for God. And so what happens in our lives is we go and we think, well, okay, I've got to sign up to a connect group. That preacher said, go sign up to a connect group. Or they keep saying on from the platform, you know, the best way to get connected is to get into a connect group. And we go to connect group for a week and we're like, these people are not my people. Let me tell you, they won't become your people if you turn up once or twice. You need to spend time with people. And that's another one of the points I'm going to get to in a moment. You can't decide from one meeting that you're going to develop a friendship. I didn't see my husband and go on one date or one account. I mean, maybe this happened to you, but it didn't happen to me. And go, that's the man I'm going to marry. Maybe it happened to you. But over a journey, I decided this was the person that I was going to spend the rest of my life with. It didn't happen immediately. And we do that with our friendships. We decide, nope, nothing in common. And we let our differences divide us. Jonathan and David could have done that very thing, but they had a love for God, and that love for God tied them together. Their friendship was built on a common faith and on their commitment to God. And you know, we probably all have friendships or friends or probably more acquaintances on a surface level that we don't get beyond the, how was your week? Yep, what did you do? Great. What did you think of the weather this week? Oh, didn't you love how much the petrol was? Oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? We don't often get beyond that with many people. I wonder in your world, do you have people where you, like JP said, you actually open the door for them to come in and be a part of your world? Some of us, the Bible says in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. We've got to come alongside one another. The problem is, as Christians, some of us want to do all the sharpening and we don't want to be sharpened. We want to be the one sharpening everyone, cutting all the edges off someone we don't think's right, telling everybody what we think should, how they should be and what they should do and how they should look and how they should dress. And we don't want to be sharpened. Let me tell you, if you're a sharpener, you need to be sharpened as well. Iron sharpens iron. And sometimes we've got to put aside differences and say, you know what? If we're in a connect group, we have a common something in common. We love God. And journey with those people. I loved what Pam said last week on the panel, that she went to connect group after her husband passed away. And while she didn't necessarily see eye to eye with all those people, she stayed committed to that group, and that group's become some of her best friends. You just don't know who you might meet. It's great to have friends that love God. It's great to have friends that can have that same commonality so that you're speaking the same language in that area. And I think that's something that we need to look for in our friendships. And I'm not saying you don't have don't be friends with people who aren't Christians. Absolutely not. We need all sorts of friendships. But I'm saying right now, who are you letting speaking in to the innermost places of your life? Who are those people when the chips are down and you open up yourself, are you letting actually speak into that place? Because I know for me, the people that I want to speak into the hard and the rough places of my life are people who've got a common interest. They love God and they want what's best for me. It's not always the woman at the checkout who I spill my guts to and then I let her speak. That's not what I want. I want people who've got a common faith and a common goal and a common interest and actually care about where God's taking me. My second key is this, they shared time together. You know, from David's perspective, staying at the palace meant he got to spend more time with Jonathan. And you know, it's no secret that our lives are busier and busier and busier and getting busier and busier and busier. Busy is actually a yuck word. It is. But I actually think we need to stop. And we need to take time to prioritise face-to-face time with people. We've all got time at the end of the night to scroll through our newsfeed, catch up on the latest goss. I'll do that tonight when I go home. I wonder who posted hashtag, what did you say? Couple bubble. That was good. We should do that. Hashtag, what did you say? Something about single. It's not a disease. Single's not a disease. I'm going to be looking for those tonight. But do we spend time in our week face-to-face looking at someone? Or are we, when we're with someone, so consumed by this thing called social media that we're with someone at a restaurant and all we're doing is scrolling through our social media posts? Oh, we're all guilty. I sit on the couch and I just scroll through. I sit in bed and go, and it's like, what are you doing, Alice? We're so easily grabbed for that thing because we want to know what's going on in the world. Why don't we grab that thing, call someone, say, hey, you want to have coffee? Because I want to know what's happening in your world. And I want to be that person that champions you. And I want to be that person who speaks into your life. Couples, when you go out for dinner, put the phone down. I heard of couples that go out to friends of ours in Sydney, when they go out with other couples, they put all their phones in the middle of the table. The first person to touch their phone has to pay for the entire bill at the end of the night. I tell you, that'll stop someone touching their phone. We should practice that. No one will touch their phone. It'll be an awesome night. It'll be conversation after conversation because we're not so busy looking at, you know, and you can be writing a post and you're sitting next to the person who then likes your post and comments on your post, but you're actually sitting right next to each other on the couch. How dumb are we? What did that video say? We're just dumb people with smartphones that have taken over our lives. As I watch my daughter down there on her iPad, I'm sure she's taking notes on my preach. She just nodded her head. Hey, we have to invest into our relationships. If you want your relationships to be strong, let me tell you, you've got to invest. An investment costs. I'm not talking about money. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you of yourself. You're going to have to, if you actually, like Larissa was saying, you have to start to share of yourself. You have to actually open your world up, be intentional about who you build in, and then actually allow those people into those places. It's going to cost you something. Share time together. And my third key is this: share with each other. I've got an 11-year-old and a 3-year-old. They hate sharing. They're boy and girl, so they don't have to share a lot of things. But when it comes to sharing food, or when it comes to sharing the last piece of chocolate or the last scoop of ice cream, it's like World War III in our home. Angus just does the no and screams at her, and Maya does the 11-year-old glare like, Mum, you said I could have the ice cream. Well, then you just need to wait till your brother goes to bed, is often what I say. But in a friendship, we've got to share with each other. It says here about David and Jonathan, that Jonathan made a solemn pact. No, go back a verse. Down in verse 4. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. In relationships, it's not all about take. It's actually more about us giving. How many times have we been with people and it's like this? There's something not right with this friendship, this relationship. You feel zapped of everything. It's because that person is taking, 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 taking from you. And you're not getting that sense of reciprocation. We need to be people who share with each other. You know, I think David and Jonathan, that's an awesome description of a friendship. The key here is that friendship isn't about, and relationship isn't about what you can get, but it's actually about what you can give. The Bible tells us so clearly in Acts 20 verse 35 that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Galatians 5 verse 13 talks about loving, serving one another through love. In our relationships, are we a giver or a taker? There are times when you need to be the person who sits back and is actually receiving, because of the place you find yourself in. But let me tell you, there is also times when you need to be someone who gives of yourself over and above what you ever thought you would have to. And that's got to be okay. I love what Josh and Shana said about each other on the screen, that they're both the kindest person each other's ever met. And the reality is, that is exactly true. They're the last people to leave here. Why? Because they're going around talking to as many people as they can. Josh is, you watch them, they're praying for someone. They're giving of themselves over and over and over again. And that's got to be what we get, the place we get ourselves to. There's a time when you'll need to sit down and receive. But I want to tell you, the times when I'm the happiest is when I've given of myself, when I've served another person. You know, studies have shown that the happiest people on the planet are actually people who volunteer. Why? Because it takes your focus off yourself and it puts your eyes on other people. It lifts your head to see that my world isn't actually that bad. And when you spend time in relationship with other people and it's not all about, well, what can I get here and how's this going to fulfill my need? It's actually about the other person. You will walk away from that coffee, that dinner, that whatever, that walk in the park, feeling so blessed, because the Bible principle, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, is so, so true. I read a great quote and it says this: you make more friends in 2 months by becoming really interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. When you're meeting with someone, be a question asker. Ask them about their world. You know, I've got a friend who I ring and then she'll just... and then she'll say, have you got anything, any news? I'm like, no, I've got to go. You've just talked to me for 20 minutes solid about every dream you had last night, about everything that happened. And it's funny, that's just her personality. But sometimes that's us. We don't even give the other person a look in because we're so busy getting off our chest what we need to get off our chest, so busy doing whatever, but we got to think about other people. You know, I bet we've all had friends, and I've already said it, I bet we've all had friends that are constantly taking, taking, taking. I bet we've often been in relationships where that's the case. It's time to turn those relationships around and us be the people that are prepared to stand up and say, that's not the relationship I want. That's not the friends that I want to invite into my world. And I'm not saying you need to go away and tell all the people in your world, I'm not being your friend anymore. That's what you do when you're in grade three. I'm not your friend today. It's true. And that's what social media has created. No, I'm going to unfriend you. That's what you did when you were in kindy. Friendships are real. Relationships take time. Relationships can't be messed with. You know, and I really believe tonight that I want to pray for people that have been hurt. Hurt in whether it's a romantic relationship or just a friendship. I actually felt very strongly tonight to stop for a moment and pray for people who, because you've been hurt, you're not prepared to do what Larissa said and put yourself out there. And I'm not talking about, you know, getting on the dating scene or anything like that. I'm just even talking about asking a friend to go for coffee. Because friendships is like dating. If you want to be friends with someone and you like, go and ask them for coffee. It doesn't mean you're going to, I mean, date. But even if it's like, I like Shana. And if I want to spend time with Shana, I've actually got to say, hey, do you want to hang out? But some of us are too scared to do that because we've been hurt in the past. And we don't actually want to open up our lives and open up our hearts and open up our worlds because we feel like if we do that, it's going to happen all over again. And I really believe tonight that God wants to break and God wants to heal and God wants to set you free because you were created for connection. So if you don't have those intimate relationships JP was talking about, if you don't have that community in your world, you're actually not living the way God intended you to live. Because He created you for intimate connection. And that's not just meaning romantic connection. It's actually talking about brother to brother, sister to sister, friendships coming together. Let me tell you, connect groups are so important. Oh, we had our connect group on Sunday night. It was so, so good. New people came and were loved and felt a part of a family. People who had their struggles were able to say at the end of the night, could you just pray for me? I'm struggling with this. Yes, we'd love to. The kids all just ran around and ran in the rain and got wet and had fun and came in wanting their pants dry by the fire. It was awesome. That's family and that's connection and that's what we all are designed for and created for. So you know what I want to do right now? I want to do two things. Because number one, and I know my time's almost gone, well, my time is gone. But I just know God wants to do something tonight. I just know God wants to heal some broken hearts, give you the courage to go back out and say, I want to be friends with that person. I want to go and join a connect group. Maybe you went to one before and it wasn't your fit. That's okay. Find another one that is your fit. Go out if you're new to influencers and you haven't met anyone. Hey, get out into that blue room tonight straight after the service and meet some people, meet the pastors. We'll be out there.